My name is Mike Herrick. As you've been told, I work for the Collaborative Software Initiative in Portland, Oregon. David and I are going to introduce to you today Trisano, an open source, citizen-centric infectious disease management system. We're excited to announce here today that it is now open source and available for download. So you might be wondering how to pronounce it. You heard me say it, but it's pronounced like this, Trisano. I think it'd be good, since we believe that you're going to be saying this a lot the next couple of years, that we all learn how to say it. So if you could try to say it with me real quick, Trisano. All right, thank you. So in coming up with this name, we wrote down a couple things that you can relate it back to. But the key things that we're focused on are the local, state, and federal collaboration, and also just the promotion of good health. As I said, I work for a company called CSI, or Collaborative Software Initiative, and it's a pretty experienced team in terms of IT, open source, and just experience in various industry verticals. Our CEO and founder, Stuart Cohen, used to be the CEO of an organization called OSDL, which was the Open Source Development Lab, and it is now the Linux Foundation. We've got a number of projects active in several verticals, including healthcare. Also of note, we have really strong partnerships with some major companies, including IBM, Intel, HP, and Novell. Also, there's the Collaborative Software Initiative, and then there's also the Collaborative Software Foundation. The foundation is our arm of the company that holds the intellectual property of Trisano, and it's a nonprofit organization. We're focused on collaboration, in particular public and private partnerships. So we're a private company, but we have a great partnership with the state of Utah and other public entities. Also of note, we're both an open source and open process focused company. So not only is our source code for Trisano open, but as you'll see if you come to the community site, the process as we develop the software is completely open. So you'll be able to see user stories, user defects, communication between developers on mailing lists and IRC. So that we think that's an important aspect of open source. Also, we're focused on building communities. So as I mentioned, we announced the Trisano community. And so some of our effort is not only building the software, but helping to nurture this community along. Lastly, we're focused on building great software, providing great support, and great software as a service alternatives for those who need it. Okay, so we started back in November with our partners in the state of Utah. We established a core team, and that's the nucleus of the Trisano community. With the announcement of open sourcing the project, we're now starting to build a Trisano community. The core team includes the Utah Department of Health, local health departments in Utah, and the Utah DTS organization, which is their technology group, and Collaborative Software Initiative. Contributors to the project to date include the University of Utah and the Oregon State University Open Source Lab. The community, although just started, already includes participation from Oregon Health Science University, some other counties outside of Utah, and if you want to see the entire list, you can go to this URL. So we think that this Trisano community is very promising for public health. The key things that we think that make it promising are that it's citizen-centric, and that's just another way of saying that it's bottom-up. So we're working in partnership with local health departments, the state of Utah, in figuring out, you know, what the people on the front line who are doing infectious disease surveillance truly need in building a system like this, and building it with their input from the beginning. Also of note, it's open source licensed. So it's the simplest way to say that is it's free. Anybody can download it and use it for no cost. Anybody can, you know, see the process as it unfolds and affect what software gets built. Also, the community. Community and open source is king. Open code without a vibrant community doesn't typically end in anything substantial. So the fact that we've started this open community is important. The last thing I'll mention is just the fact that there is going to be commercial support and software as a service options. So as I mentioned, it's completely free and open source, so anyone can use it for free. But for those who would like or need support or don't want to deal with hosting it, that is something that's out there and available. With that, I'm going to turn it over to David, who's going to walk us through a demo, and I'm going to operate the computer.
See if that works. Well, hello, I'm David Jacks with the Utah Department of Health, and it would be an understatement to say the Utah Department of Health has faced a few obstacles over the years in trying to implement a NEDS-compatible and FIN-compliant electronic disease surveillance system in the state. As I attended the electronic laboratory reporting workshop yesterday, I met several people and learned in that workshop that there are several in attendance here at the conference that have faced a lot of the same problems that we have faced. Financial problems, vendor failures, software failures as well. And so I'm sure many of you can relate to that. As Mike mentioned, Utah public health officials have been actively engaged in the development of the first open source web-based electronic disease surveillance system. And we're anxiously awaiting full deployment of that system in the near future. And we anticipate that this system will enable public health officials to, that it will shorten disease reporting times, for example, enable us to detect aberrations quicker, enable us to share information more effectively with our public health partners in the state, and implement interventions better as we more effectively manage outbreaks and other problems. So we'd like to demo this system by running through a typical communicable disease scenario and demonstrate Trisano's ability to allow public health to enter disease reports, route reports to investigating jurisdictions, create disease-specific investigation forms in addition to supplemental forms that one might use during an outbreak situation and other public health and administrative activities. So, as many of you can relate, the vast majority of laboratory reports that we do get at the Utah Department of Health are from a laboratory. It's about 80% in the state of Utah. So our scenario for today as we demo the system is a laboratory report of a hepatitis A infection and from a lab in which we get some basic demographic information. So the first step we do a name search in our database. And what Mike is showing here, we'll do something more advanced. We could just do name. If we do name, birth date, county of residence, we can do a pretty good search in the database on that. This tool allows us to, this tool supports full text and sound X combinations. And as you can see, you can search on a wide variety of variables here that are shown on the screen. So if we submit a query based upon the information that has been entered here, we can get similarly sounding names and spelled names. In the situation here, oh, is this?
I have a technical issue.
Okay, so
I don't know, it's not,
okay.
We can switch over to the.
We have a backup. If we had technical problems, we had a backup. We have screenshots of the application, so we'll switch over to that. So, this is great. The current tool we use now, the Utah NETS system with a T, the National Electronic Telecommunications System for Surveillance, this DOS-based system which we currently use, allows us to do a name search, but this allows something a little more robust. which is helpful. So if we submit a search like this, again, we can get similarly spelled names, similarly sounding names. In this situation, we don't get a return on this name. So at that point, we can click on a link at the bottom of the screen and create a new confidential morbidity report with the criteria we've already set. So if we do that, is that working okay, Mike?
Yeah.
This one, okay. So if we do that, we can create a new confidential morbidity report. What that is, it carries over the information we did on the search screen, the name, date of birth, county of residence. Here we can also put in gender, for example, if we got that from the lab. We can go to the clinical tab here and enter some more clinical information, the disease, the diagnosing facility, the clinician's name. We can go to the laboratory tab and enter laboratory information. In our scenario, we put the lab report comes from AARUP Laboratories. This, if you saw the demo, you'd see the name automatically pop up as Mike started typing that because it was saved in our database with a list of labs that are in the state and in the country. So we can put in more depth information about the lab result. You can see a link at the bottom of the screen indicating one can add a lab result. So for hepatitis A, we could put in a positive IgM, but we could add another one, a positive IgG. Liver enzyme tests. If we go to contact steps, not surprisingly, we don't get that from the laboratory, but if one had that from another reporter, you could enter the name, and then there's the opportunity to put more complete information for each contact. For example, more complete demographic information, laboratory information, and so forth. We have an epidemiological tab where there's risk factor information. We don't have this from the lab, but it's here in case someone had it. There's a reporting tab. We won't enter data into this one, but for the sake of time, but you can enter more in-depth lab information as well. And at this point, we can, I'll mention one more thing. There's this disabled tabs at the top of the screen. We heard from some of our users, some wanted to disable this tabbed view and just scroll through the report. So you can disable that and you can come back to it and re-enable this tab view. So if we create the form now, we can show one other administrative tool. Do we pass by the routing one? Do we have that? I can just describe it quickly.
It's right here.
Oh, okay, in the upper right-hand corner. I guess I need to step around to see that.
Yeah.
We can route this report. Based on the information we got from the laboratory, the doctor was in Davis County in Utah. The diagnosing facility was in Davis County in Utah. So we assume from that the person resides in that county. We can route it to that county, and the local health user can either accept or reject that report, meaning that the county finds out that the person actually does not reside in Davis County. They can reject it. It can be routed to the correct department. But in this case, they accept it. The person does live there, so they accept that report. And it's at that point when we can create, I'm sorry. Well, I'll show one thing. At this point, local health department would want to initiate an investigation and use the disease-specific form. And so there's a form builder tool with this application that allows us to create very disease-specific forms in the state. In Utah, we have more than 75 disease-specific forms. We can add more specific questions related to the clinical information, epidemiological information, laboratory information. So we've added a couple of questions here. For example, was the patient jaundiced, or did the person eat fresh vegetables, for example? So we can create that. And this is a great tool because as a core team, we want something more robust than just the ability to have some simple surveillance tools at our hands. We need the ability to create forms and modify them as needed. I'm sure some of you can relate to us in that in Utah, we're constantly modifying these forms and trying to find that balance between gathering as much information as possible, but yet not overwhelming the investigative or data entry process. So this is a great tool for that. Let's say at this point in the scenario that the CDC notifies the Utah Department of Health of a possible association between consuming fresh blueberries, for example, and the risk of acquiring a hepatitis A infection. So in this scenario, the Davis County Health Department would likely, like many of you would want to do, ask some very specific questions related to that possible association between the two. So we can add questions here. We can say for Davis County, anytime a case shows up in that county, we're going to ask some disease-specific questions like, did you eat blueberries? And in this form, we can create dependent questions. So if the person answers yes to that question, they can be asked, when did you buy them, or where did you buy them? When did you consume them? So we create those questions. And at this point, we can create this form, and the local health department can initiate an investigation. They can do so by going to the administrative tab and changing our event status to under investigation. And when they do that, two forms show up, the disease-specific hepatitis A case investigation form and the supplemental form that was just created. We only put a couple questions there for the sake of time, but those two forms will show up. We can see the very specific questions about, what's that? Okay, vegetables consumed. We can go to the clinical tab and look at the jaundice-related question that we put in there. Then we can go to the supplemental form. We can view very specific questions about the blueberries. And if you select yes, have some follow-up questions related to that. Well, as maybe you can relate, this app, the application as demonstrated so far is rather robust in allowing us to enter epidemiological data of interest, but it would it would have very limited value to us if the information was one way, if we were only putting it in. We needed the ability to export data for analysis, and Mike's demonstrated that here. We can export the data in a CSV format to be imported to other statistical software for analysis. The great thing about the tool is that it allows us to export data from those three reports, the morbidity report, the case investigation form, and that supplemental form that we created about blueberries. We can export all the data associated with one case, and it's shown in one line here. We can also, if we had a lot of morbidity reports in here, we could, you would see that all that would be exported as well. Another thing some of our users said, despite our efforts to eliminate paper and go completely electronic, is that 1 minute? Okay. We can put out a printer-friendly format. That's all I'll mention about that. And, there's some other administrative tools, creating cases, assigning roles within a jurisdiction, modifying code, so CDC sends a new event name with a new event code, for example, that can be changed and modified. So I better end the demo portion here since I have less than a minute left and quickly describe the roadmap. This lists a couple of releases and some of the functionality we've built over the past several months. We hope to have a completely testable version released in October for Utah health officials to test, and then in January 2009 to release something that can completely replace our use of the NETS system in our state. To see a more detailed roadmap, you can go to this link at the bottom of the screen and look at more information there. I'd also like to mention, as Mike did, that the open source community site was just launched last week. You can visit the link shown at the bottom of the screen, and you can download the application, look at the source code, look at the functionality that is there, and sign up, get involved with the community, which would be very helpful because we're seeking feedback and contributions from these groups of people here. And then lastly, I'd like to say thanks to all those that have helped with this project over the past several months. The names that are underlined are those that are here in attendance at the FIN conference of our state epidemiologist, Dr. Ross is here, and folks from Collaborative Software Initiative, and other folks from the Utah Department of Health. So if you see those folks, want to ask more about this open source community and how to get involved, you can do that. And any final words, Mike? Okay.